Then 1 Corinthians 9. Much is made of the fact that Paul uses enomos instead of hyponomos, in law instead of under law. But as I argued, the context there again shows he's talking about slavery under law. He's not under the law of Moses, but he's not lawless. He's under the law of Christ, and so is every believer. Galatians 5:1 and 6:2, Paul tells the believers at Galatia not to go to the law, not to go to the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage, of course, is the law of Moses, possibly pagan law, but the law of Moses. Peter, in Acts 15:10, I should have mentioned this when I did the clip, in Acts 15:10, he defines and says that the bondage yoke was the law of Moses. And of course, it's in contrast to Matthew 11:28-30. Christ's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I went on to show that chapter 6, verse 2 of the Galatian letter, the believer fulfills the law by walking in the Spirit. To fulfill the law, you have to come under it. Christ did. The Greek word for Christ fulfilling the law is plero. Paul doesn't use plero. He uses an even stronger word for the believer, anaplero. Fulfill it entirely. But the believer fulfills the law of Christ entirely by obeying Scripture. After all, we're reading Scripture here. Walking in the Spirit. Coming under the law of Christ. He most definitely is under the law of Christ, because anaplero involves being under. In my last clip, this one, I'm going to look at 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. Now, some say that what John is saying is lawlessness here means without law, anomos, without law. Now, first of all, I don't see the logic of what this view is taking here, but I agree that anomos in Scripture can mean without law, lawless. Do not miss the gap. For example, in Acts chapter 2, the case is made, Peter explains, that the Jews wanted to crucify Christ, but they didn't actually do the dirty work. They handed Christ over to the Gentiles, and they did the dirty work. They put him to death. And Peter describes the Gentiles there as lawless. What he is saying is they're not under the law of Moses. But of course, they're not lawless, but they're lawless. They did not have the law of Moses. But anomos there means without that particular law. And there are other passages the same. But there are many passages in the New Testament where anomos means having a law, but breaking it, violating it, kicking over the traces, not keeping the law, showing contempt for that particular law, whatever that law may be. How can we decide whether anomos means lawless, with the gap, or lawless? The context, always. It was the same in Romans 6:14, 1 Corinthians 9, Galatians 5 and 6. It's always the context. Look at the context here in 1 John 3. Just read before and after. Just read on a few verses and see. It's all about sinning. Sin. The practice of sin. It's the doing of sin. It's not possession of a law. It's having a law, whatever that law may be. It's having commandments. It's having a rule. But it's kicking over the traces. It's breaking it. Anomos in 1 John 3:4, as all the translations, all the major translations, all the major modern translations say, is lawlessness. It's not lawlessness. The people have a law. The believers have a law, but these believers, if they disobey John, are breaking that law, showing contempt for that law, violating that law. The only question is, what law is he talking about? Is it the law of Moses? John doesn't even mention the law of Moses throughout his entire letter. What law is he talking about? Well, read 1 John and see. Commandment, commandment, imperative after imperative. And if it doesn't remind you of John 13 to 16, the commandments of Christ, a new commandment I give unto you, all the way through, we're clearly speaking of apostolic command in line with the commandment of Christ. In other words, Scripture. This is the law of Christ. Ah, but what about the Spirit? Well, if you go into 1 John 2, you will see that the believer has the Spirit. He has the unction of the Spirit. And he doesn't need any teacher, says John. And yet John is teaching at the same time as saying that. Clearly the understanding is scriptural teaching by the apostles, nuancing all Scripture, is equally part of the law of Christ along with the inward work of the Spirit. Is the law of Christ in a nutshell here in 1 John 2, 20 and 27, on into chapter 3 and verse 4. The law that the believer is under is the law of Christ. He has the Spirit writing that law in his heart. He has the help of the Spirit, the moving power of the Spirit. It's not fleshly, carnal obedience merely to external rule. It's the written Scriptures, the inward work of the Spirit, in the heart of the believer, under the law of Christ. That is what 1 John 3, 4 is teaching. And John is expressed in his letter, if we don't keep this law, if we don't keep these commandments, if we don't walk according to this principle, we're none of Christ. That's what John is saying here. He raises the stakes very highly in his letter. You may read it and see. In short, the believer is under the law of Christ. He has the Spirit writing the Christ law in his heart. He has Christ formed in him. But he's also under the written word of God. It's not the Spirit or the Word. It's the Spirit and the Word. And the believer is obligated to keep the law of Christ under it. But he does so in a loving, spiritual, glad way, moved and motivated and empowered by the Spirit. Does it matter? I'm not accusing my friends, the men who say these things today, of any aberration in practice at all. But I say, in generations to come, if this teaching gains ground, history may well repeat itself. And what is the history of such teaching emphasizing the Spirit to any detriment whatsoever of the integral place of the Scriptures in the law of Christ? This lack of emphasis upon commandment and rule in the New Covenant, if this teaching gains ground, what might well happen? Well, in the past, I'm not accusing any friend of doing it now, but in the past, this has happened, and it might well again, I fear it will, antinomianism and perfectionism. And because I see these twin aberrations, terrible things on the horizon, because I see the possibility of them, I feel conscience-driven to produce these clips and write my articles and produce my books on the subject. I am, as I say, conscience-driven to it. I wish I didn't have to do it. But I can do no other but make this statement. The believer, as I read the Scriptures, as I exegete these passages, is under the law of Christ. He is delivered from pagan law. He is delivered from the law of Moses, yes. He is free. He has the Spirit. But he's under the law of Christ. And he's under the written Scriptures. That's what I want to say in these clips. I hope it's been a blessing to you, as it has to me.